This is DW News, and these are our top stories. French President Emmanuel Macron is facing a growing backlash in the Muslim world for his recent comments about Islam. The controversy began when he defended satirical images of the Muslim prophet Muhammad following the brutal murder of a French teacher. Two big wildfires are burning out of control in Southern California near Los Angeles. The blazes, fanned by high winds, have blocked roadways and destroyed vast areas of scrub and trees. Two firefighters have been seriously injured and tens of thousands of people forced to leave their homes. The Weather Service describes fire conditions there as the most dangerous this year. People in Germany are bracing for strict new rules aimed at slowing the spread of COVID-19 amid a big surge in infections. Chancellor Merkel and state leaders will reveal on Wednesday which restrictions they'll impose in what's being called a lockdown light. This is DW News from Berlin. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at DW News or visit our website, dw.com.
Coronavirus cases are exploding on both sides of the Atlantic. More people are getting sick, and hospital intensive care units are filling up. The surge so strong here in Europe that we could soon become the epicenter of this pandemic yet again. To slow the spread, Ireland has started a total lockdown for a second time. In France and Spain, there are evening curfews again. And in Italy, anger. Police clashing with protesters who say if the virus doesn't kill us this time, the new lockdowns will. I'm Brent Goff in Berlin. This is The Day.
It used to be normal for everyone to stay with their families, but now it's not normal. Now they're messing with our heads.
We're being forced to close at 6 in the evening. Well, in the morning, thousands of people can get on crowded metros and buses.
The tourists have all disappeared. We're completely finished. I think we're going to have to close down in a week.
It's not right. Because if you want to close, you should close everything. Otherwise, you shouldn't close anything.
If you don't have an income, how can you survive?
Also coming up, she is exactly what U.S. President Trump wanted. Amy Coney Barrett is joining the U.S. Supreme Court, cementing its conservative majority. If the court is asked to rule on a disputed presidential election, will Judge Barrett give the president what he wants?
The oath that I have solemnly taken tonight means at its core that I will do my job without any fear or favor, and that I will do so independently of both the political branches and of my own preferences.
Well, to our viewers watching on PBS in the United States and to all of you around the world, welcome. We begin the day with coronavirus cases surging all across Europe, threatening to make the continent the epicenter of the pandemic once again. In the last week, more than 1.3 million people in Europe tested positive for the virus. That is the highest weekly sum since the pandemic began. The numbers are increasing at such an alarming rate that governments are reimposing severe restrictions. On Wednesday, leaders here in Germany are expected to agree on a new set of measures that are being called lockdown light. France is also bracing for tougher restrictions. Daily cases there are now topping 50,000. And a state of emergency has been declared for all of Spain. Europeans have been through all of this before, especially Italians. We remember the images of overcrowded intensive care units, hospitals full of patients all being kept alive on ventilators. In order to avoid a repeat, Italy's prime minister has just approved new restrictions that will bring public life in the country to a standstill beginning at sunset every day for the next month. The news triggered more than just frustration and fear. We have this report.
It began as an angry protest. They chanted for freedom in Turin.
but it quickly descended into a violent game of cat and mouse. Local media report the group was made up of hardcore football fans known as ultras. Riot police fired tear gas and water cannon to send them home. Designer shops were targeted too. In Milan, police clashed with protesters, tear gas and pyrotechnics in plentiful supply. Several arrests were made as the Carabinieri tried to restore order to the city's otherwise quiet streets. The unrest was ignited by new rules forcing the country's hospitality industry to close its doors at 6 p.m, a hammer blow to Italy's late-night dining culture. As restaurant owners locked up, many feared this would be the beginning of the end. Tourists have disappeared, and lunchtime is empty as well, with 75% of the employees working from home. In fact, we're done with this job. I think we're going to close in a week. In Rome, industry workers poured their supplies away in protest. What you're seeing here is just a part of our supplies that we've had to throw away and sacrifice, although we've already paid for it. Instead of serving it to our customers or friends, we're forced to throw it on the ground, as we've already done in the past. The peaceful gathering in sharp contrast to scenes elsewhere. But as Italy tightens restrictions, the sense of anxiety here every bit as strong.
Well, Italians once again being asked to go inside and to wait it out. Tonight I'm joined by Silvia Bacardi. She is a journalist in Milan. Good evening to you, Silvia. What more do we know about these protests and the protesters? Are we talking about nationwide anger here?
Yes, we are. The protests started a few days ago in Naples, and now they've spread everywhere around Italy. There are more than 20 cities involved in this. And in Rome, it's at the moment there are protests going on, and we know that there are groups of people, especially from right-wing extremists and hooligans groups, that they're taking advantage of this situation to push forward this kind of like violent protests.
Mm-hmm. We know that deaths from COVID-19 are not rising as quickly as the number of new cases, and that's a good thing. Are Italians angry over what restrictions mean for public health this time, or are they angry over what these restrictions could do to the nation's economic health?
I think they're more worried about the economic factor. At the moment, we have a situation that is getting worse and worse every day. There are more than 20,000 positive cases a day, and there are seven regions at the moment that are considered red regions, so emergency regions. But what people are worried the most is the economy at the moment. We had a really strong situation in the past few months, and people thought that they were going to be able to keep their activities open for a while, but this is not the case anymore.
And after Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte announced his decision about closing restaurants and bars after 6 p.m., did he say what the government will do to help ease this economic shock that's about to take place?
They did today. The Prime Minister Conte signed a new decree that is allowing more than 5 billion euros into financial and economic help for companies and enterprises that have been hit by this new regulation. And they should be able to provide them by mid-November. But I think this will help ease protests in a way. But I think people are also worried because there are some specific sector of the economy who are being hit, and some other that are not being hit.
Yeah, that's right. There are reports, people saying that they feel like they're being unfairly targeted by these restrictions. Journalist Silvia Bacardi joining us tonight from Milan. Silvia, thank you.
Thank you.
While Italians struggle to come to terms with new restrictions, people here in Germany will be doing the same very soon. The number of new daily cases could approach 20,000 by the end of this week.
Bergmannstraße in Berlin's Kreuzberg district. This is one of 10 busy streets in the German capital where people now have to wear a face mask. Germany has seen record numbers of coronavirus cases, and Berlin has been particularly hard hit. Now, all 12 districts here are considered hotspots.
Pressure is growing here in Germany for politicians to introduce new, stricter measures against the coronavirus, especially as numbers continue to grow. This is something that is being debated on a daily basis here in Germany, both on the streets but also in the German press. The latest topic to be discussed is the possibility of introducing a so-called lockdown light.
Under this proposal, which is reportedly favoured by Chancellor Merkel, schools and daycare would remain open except in the worst-hit areas. Restaurants and bars would have to shut and large events would be banned. So far, most bars and restaurants have to close only between 11 p.m. and 6 a.m. For many Berliners, new measures are necessary, even if they mean fewer freedoms. But others are more sceptical.
We all have to give ourselves a push now and see that it goes in the right direction. The numbers are always going up, so you have to do your part to make them go down again.
I hope that we will be spared, but unfortunately, we can't rule this out completely. Although, I'm not sure if it will really help to contain the pandemic. I assume that there will be new measures. There's nothing you can do about it. We have to get the infection under control.
New restrictions are expected on Wednesday after Chancellor Merkel meets with Germany's 16 regional leaders.
In the United States, the confirmation of Amy Coney Barrett to the U.S. Supreme Court has cemented the conservative majority in America's top court. Barrett is the third Supreme Court justice appointed by President Trump. She is promising to deliver justice with no biases or allegiances. That's a hard sell for Democrats, who say Barrett's nomination was motivated purely by politics and by hopes of a conservative future.
After a month in the spotlight, she finally got to say these words.
So help me God.
Judge Amy Coney Barrett is heading to the U.S. Supreme Court.
It's a privilege to be asked to serve my country in this office, and I stand here tonight truly honored and humbled.
President Donald Trump was on hand to celebrate one of his signature achievements, locking in a conservative majority on the Supreme Court for many years to come.
This is a momentous day for America, for the United States Constitution, and for the fair and impartial rule of law.
Coney Barrett took her oath at the White House only an hour after the Senate narrowly voted to secure her nomination, with only one Republican not supporting the motion. Democrats strongly opposed the confirmation, saying a Supreme Court justice shouldn't be appointed this close to an election.
Let the record show that tonight the Republican Senate majority decided to thwart the will of the people and confirm a lifetime appointment to the Supreme Court in the middle of a presidential election.
Opponents of Coney Barrett's nomination say it paves the way for conservative rulings on abortion rights, healthcare, and LGBTIQ rights. Coney Barrett vowed that she will remain independent.
Even though we judges don't face elections, we still work for you. It is your Constitution that establishes the rule of law and the judicial independence that is so central to it.
She'll take the second of her two oaths on Tuesday at a private ceremony, which will allow her to begin official duties on the court.
All right, for more now, I want to bring in Mary Ziegler. She's a professor of law at Florida State University. She's also the author of Abortion and the Law in America, Roe versus Wade to the Present. She joins us tonight from Santa Rosa Beach. Ziegler, it's good to have you on the program. I'd like to remind our viewers and play part of Judge Barrett's speech that she delivered last night after being sworn in by President